Ladies and gentlemen, I want to be cheered up. So I love ringing old pals to find out what's happening in show business because I miss it. Stuck in this ivory tower. I don't know what it's like in Panto up there. I don't know what it's like on the road doing the cruise ships. I don't know what it's like to be a star. So I thought I'd ring a star. Bobby Davro, English
Bobby
actor.
Not so much the old.
I haven't finished the intro. Bobby Davro, English actor, comedian, bought impressionist. Now you can have a go.
Yes, of course you can. Not so much the old.
Bobby, you've seen a huge change in the industry, haven't you?
I have. It's huge. There used to be a time when entertainers would be on the TV and the general public would be sitting on the sofa watching those entertainers. Now, it's the entertainers sat on the sofa watching the general public on television.
Yeah, it's great. It's incredible.
I enjoy it. I sort of like the changes. There's a lot of good changes. Some great comedians around. I'm sat next to my coach. I have an impressionist coach now because back in the 80s, I sort of was well known for doing impressions, as you probably know. Mm-hmm. And I now sort of keep up to date with all the impressions, but I have to have a coach.
Oh.
So this is how it goes. He's a young man that was in the finals of Britain's Got Talent.
Right.
Very talented mimic. And his name is Danny Posthill. Yeah. And he comes down and he gives me regular coaching lessons. So if I, for instance, want to do an impression of Michael McIntyre, so that's my Michael McIntyre. You know, it's not a bad impression, but listen to Danny.
So basically, when you do Michael McIntyre, you have to tone it down a little bit.
It's a nightmare.
The way he says nightmare is a nightmare.
From Liverpool, the John Bishop, you know, it's a great impression. I'm not turning too bad, but listen to Danny.
I think with John Bishop, you've got it all done back a little bit more, haven't you? That's what you've got to do. It makes sure that you don't really overpronounce some of your words.
That's actually incredible because...
Incredible. He's an incredible impressionist. And unfortunately, his invoices are mounting up.
Oh, right. Well, the John Bishop, I've got to say, because John used to be on our radio station, used to do a show. And that was an incredible impression.
Yeah, but some he can't do. For instance, you know, because he does not do a good Chris Eubank, but he does do a remarkable Kevin Bridges. Listen to his Kevin.
I've got to say, what I love about Kevin Bridges, very funny guy. And what I love about Kevin Bridges is he pauses after every fourth word and makes sure you get the syllables right.
He's unbelievable.
I've had an accident, and I think I'm entitled to some concentration. You know the one? Oh, gosh.
Bobby, anyway. I've got to ask. You're a great impressionist. Why do you need a coach? Tell me why.
I'm only joking. He's just a good pal.
Ah, right.
And he comes down. I saw him on Britain's Got Talent. I got in touch with him because I think he's superb. And we've become good pals. So we go out and we pretend to be different people. I'm working on a Stephen Hawking impression, which is a bit dangerous.
Yeah.
And because people might think it's, you know, all bit politically incorrect. But I like doing their voice because I sort of try and do his voice. And his lips like that, it sounds much more like him. And it's a little bit, it's a bit controversial, that impression. You never know if you might offend somebody.
It's incredible you say that, Bobby, because do you know what just jumped into my mind? When you were a little boy, Paul Melba doing Prince Philip, because that was quite controversial in its day.
Yes, it was. Yeah. It's funny how you have to be very careful who you do. You know, everyone's doing Donald Trump. This is my Donald Trump impression. You've got to listen. It's fantastic. You've got to listen to Danny.
You know, we need to make America great again. We need to make America safe again. And the way Donald says fantastic is fantastic. It really is fantastic.
Danny, let me just stay with you a minute. Danny.
Yes.
Tell me what you think of Bobby as an impressionist, because I idolise the man.
I admit, Bobby Davro, he's one of my heroes. You know, when he got in touch with me, when I'd done Britain's Got Talent, I was rather flattered, to be honest, mate. And to even spend time with him is just incredible. And for him to call me a friend, I find that it's incredible. It really is.
How do you find work these days, by the way?
Oh, yeah, really good. I mean, I'm getting more than I was, and I feel like audiences sort of appreciate me more because if you've had a little bit of telly, they're sort of, well, you know, the certain venues I used to turn up on, they wouldn't listen to you, and now they listen to me, so that's a bit of a bonus, you know.
He's a fabulous impressionist. Sorry, go on, Peter.
I was just going to ask, what was the happiest time in your career? What was the best time for you?
For me?
In all the years you've been doing it.
I guess, I'll tell you what I miss. I don't miss, I'm still reasonably famous. It's still one of those things like, a bloke came up to me yesterday and said, do you know Bobby Dover? I said, yes. He said, there's so much rubbish on television now. He said, why aren't you on? So he could take it two ways. I tell you what I missed. I missed it. Yeah, he just got that one, didn't he? I missed the creative element of it. You know, I still want to be creative. I still strive to come up with new things. And it is very difficult because entertainers of my era are sort of somewhat put in a box. Because it's time for the new ones, and so that's only right. But it would still be nice to be asked to be doing things that are creative and not necessarily reality shows and stuff, you know, that I seem to get asked to do. But I'd like to be asked to sing, and because we actually, we're a vocal act. We do a lot of singing impressions and stuff, you know.
Oh, no, you're a singer. You always have been. It was great.
And it's difficult. But you know what I should do is to put stuff onto social media now, which I'm beginning to do.
Yeah, gradually. Because more and more people are using that because it is a tool, a great tool.
Yeah, but I've always been a bit reluctant to do that because I've always thought if you put your material on social media and it's out there and everyone can see it, and, you know, obviously it's not fresh anymore. So if you don't really want to see the same jokes and the same routines that I might do live, if you see it all on the internet.
Yeah, but the problem is, Bobby, if you don't put it up, somebody else will, because there's a million cameras out there. It's a different world we're living in now.
Yes, and I've realised that now. You know, there's certain routines that people have filmed without my knowledge.
Yeah.
I've put it on YouTube and social media, and it's slightly unfair because if I was going to do that, I would have done it myself.
Yeah.
And it's not a good representation in some cases of what I actually do.
Yeah.
So it's about time I got hold of the reins and started doing stuff out there.
Do you look back? I mean, do you do the cruise ships?
Funny enough, I'm going on one tomorrow.
Right.
I don't do many.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit. I don't tend to want to necessarily concentrate on being a cruise performer because it's quite restricting to what I do because I'm quite a dangerous performer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm
not as safe as most acts that do cruise ships are quite safe. I don't mean that disrespectfully.
No, I know what you mean. No, the rules and regulations, you know, and the American audiences, you've got to be ultra, ultra down the middle.
Yeah, well, you have to be. You have to be. It's very difficult to try and get, but it's moved on. Before, it was quite, the audience would tend to be a lot older. Now they've moved on maybe 20 years, and they're people of my own age sort of getting on.
Yeah.
And, you know, the stuff that I do, they want to see. Yeah. But the cruise ship people, certain companies, they go, oh, no, we mustn't have anything that's a little bit dangerous. But actually, danger's good. I'm always stimulated by dangerous and exciting acts. People like Freddie Starr and people like that were my heroes, you know?
Yeah, I know. And I worked with him in his good days, you know?
He was wonderful.
Yeah, he was indeed.
He was the funniest man I've ever seen. You asked me my happiest time. It was when I was creating all those old impressions and... And of course, I try to keep up with it, as you can hear. I do all the modern things. It's not like I'm doing normal Wisdom and Frank Spencer impressions. I keep up with it.
As you've done it for so long, is it easier to do impressions or does it get harder?
I'll tell you the secret to them. Everyone, there's lots of very good impressionists, lots of impressionists that are better than me. But it's the secret to it is finding a way of doing it live that is different and fresh. And I've always strived to find my own sort of way of presenting things. For instance, someone sent me a picture of me in a chair. This is a revolving chair. And back in 1987, I did a routine for a warm-up for one of my TV shows. In a revolving chair, and Michael Parkinson, and I get to that. And I spun around on the chair, and I was like, okay. So that was an idea that I'd forgotten all about.
Yeah.
And I revisited it. And now I do Stephen Hawking in a chair.
Yeah.
And to some people, I might think, well, it's a bit controversial, isn't it? It's a bit dangerous. But it works so well. It's a funny thing.
I love it. One of my
it's original.
Yeah, one of my favourite headlines, there's loads, but one of the ones that made me laugh, because I know what you like with your money. Bobby Devereux knocked down his £3.5 million mansion and built two new houses. That made me laugh, that did.
Yeah, Bob the Builder, I think they call me.
What made you do that?
It wasn't the truth, though. Unfortunately, it was an exaggerated story.
Oh, right.
It happens to be my ex-wife that's doing it.
Oh, right. Oh, dear.
We have a very nice relationship. You know, I'm a family man, and that's, you know, despite being divorced, it's the most important thing in life is family.
Yeah. Panto, you do every year?
Yes. I just finished one, actually, for any of the listeners out there. We didn't come up to Liverpool. We came up to, where did we, nearest we got, I think it was Mansfield, somewhere like that.
You went to Wrexham, Scotland. Didn't you go to Wrexham?
Sorry?
Were you in Wrexham?
Yeah, Wrexham. Went right up to Wrexham. Yeah, that would have been the nearest place, wouldn't it? Yeah. Yeah, it was fantastic. They were the fantastic audiences. Yeah. I worked with the Ashley and Pudsey.
Yeah.
We did The Wizard of Oz. So I do one in the spring, and I do one at Christmas. I'm in Southend this year.
Do you still enjoy it?
Yeah, I love it. I'll tell you something, Pete. I earn my living being an entertainer. And a lot of people say comedian. There are not many entertainers left. But I call myself an entertainer. There's not many of us left. And that people that understand how pantomime should be performed and learn all the rules and learn the systems and the routines. And I'm very proud of that. Sometimes for the modern comics, they'll go, oh, you know, you're washed up if you're doing panto.
Nah.
But actually, it's a lovely art form.
Couldn't agree with you more. 30 years I've done a panto. Couldn't.
Yes, well, you understand. Yeah, me, you know.
Absolutely. Listen.
You know what's so lovely about it is that you go out there and I can entertain, you know, little kids to teenagers to mums and dads and grannies and grandpas. How many shows can you go and see with the family you can all enjoy?
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I love about it.
Can you believe it's 36 years since you did your TV debut?
Yes, and it was with you. I can see you now in a newspaper suit. Do you remember the newspaper suit? Do you still have that suit?
I still have it. I never wear it, but I've still got it.
It was a great suit. You came out and it was up for the cup.
Yep.
Jim Bowen. Yep. Lovely super smashing. Lovely great. Put your toe in the bath, you know. And I don't know how Jim is. I haven't seen him for years.
Not well at all. I was at a function and he came. And you know when you're visibly shocked and you go, oh, my word, not well at all. But it was great to see him.
And he is a great comedian. He was a terrific comedian.
He was indeed. He was indeed. So what advice would you give for young people out there in the industry? Because it's such a difficult industry now.
Well, coming from someone who is probably viewed as old-fashioned, I think that's, if there's anything that sort of frustrates me about being Bobby Devereaux, the entertainer that was famous in the 80s, it's the perception of what we do without actually seeing what I do. And that's the frustrating part because I think you've got to find something original. And I always strive to find something original. And I learned about 4 years ago, it took me a long time to come to terms with the fact that if you see someone, for instance, I went to see Les Miserables with my girlfriend, and I really didn't enjoy it. It's not for me. But it doesn't make the show bad. It's a brilliant show. It just wasn't my cup of tea. And when people don't like what you do, it doesn't mean to say you're not good. It just means to say it's not their cup of tea. It's not their taste.
Yeah.
And if you're going to find, if you want to be a young comic, I think the art is out, the direction, you've got to find something that shines above everyone else, something that's original. Mm-hmm. And that's very important.
Do you enjoy the acting side of your career?
Yes. In fact, I did Big Brother a few years ago, about two years ago. And because I was doing Big Brother and it was good financially for me, I went and did a play in London for very little money. And it was the best thing I'd done for 20 years. It stimulated my creativity.
Yeah.
And I do love acting. And when I did EastEnders, I enjoyed it, but the part wasn't big enough. The part wasn't really suited to me. And I'm not as good as some of the actors in there. You know, I'm not an actor, but I can act a bit.
But you know what? You say a couple of entertainers have said that to me. I'm not an actor. You are an actor. Every time you go on stage, when you command an audience of 3,000, 4,000 people, when you command a television show, you are an actor. You become somebody else. You walk onto that stage and you light up.
Well, yes. Comedians do make good actors, the majority of them do, whereas actors find it hard to be comedians. It sort of doesn't work the other way around. And I do love acting, and I'd love to do more drama, but I'm unfortunately led, in a way, it's difficult, it sounds like I'm moaning, but I was divorced, and I couldn't really afford to carry my lifestyle, the lifestyle that I had. You know, you talked about the big houses and stuff. It's very difficult to go and do something maybe for very little money, which might help your career or help your CV, and also be expected to come up with a lifestyle at the rate I was living. So that's what sort of hindered me a bit. I don't want that to sound bitter, but it is a matter of fact. You know, you have to sort of... I would have preferred at my age
sort of be in a comfortable position where I could go and do things for very little money. And I have to say, doing that acting job, we did a play, a three-headed play, if you might say, and it was probably the best thing I've done for 20 years.
Bobby, love talking to people in the business. I really do, because it keeps it alive, it keeps the memories alive, and you're still working, you're still doing Panto, you're still packing the places out. Thank you for spending some time with me.
Pete, it's been a pleasure. And you were one. Are you still doing stand-up and stuff?
Still do stand-up, just on my way to do a gig tomorrow night. And, yeah, still do stand-up, still do the radio, still write for the magazines, still go on the ships, still work. But I haven't got a wife. A wife to divorce me.
No, well, that's the thing. You don't, you know, never bother to get married. Just meet someone you don't like and buy them a house.
Bye-bye, Bobby Davro.
Love you. Cheers, Peter.